All right, degenerates, we're here once again to give you all your recap and predictions. That's right, this week you're getting 2-1. Like it or not, here we are. I am joined, as always, by your co-host, Mr. Steven Sampson. How you doing tonight, Steve?
Good, Brian. What's up, degenerates? Welcome to the fantasy playoffs for some of us. Some of us are playing for the toilet bowl.
I think you meant to say some of you.
Brian, I have more than one league. Contingency plans, my friend.
Yeah, I hear you. We are joined by your commissioner, Mr. Eric DeFusco. How you doing tonight, Eric?
Pretty good. You should have introduced me as the only member on this fucking panel to make the playoffs.
Oh, okay. Rub it in. Sure.
Yep. Yeah, I kind of, I guess you could say I kind of blitzed Brian's team last week. I didn't take it easy on him.
Yeah, I mean, you won by like 5 points, I think.
Add a zero at the end and you are correct.
Yeah, it was a disappointment. I mean, everybody on my team. Fuck it. DK, nope. Antonio Gibson, hurt. Justin Herbert, socks. I was like, God damn, I can't catch him. I couldn't buy a break if I won the lottery, you know? Just one of those weeks. Fucking, it is what it is. I mean, my team's not that good anyway, so it wasn't exactly heartbreaking. It was. I'm not going to lie to you. It was. But it wasn't unforeseeable. It didn't catch me by surprise, you know?
The team wasn't great, but it wasn't Cleveland's team as bad.
No. And I was... You know, like I've been saying all year, if I could get into the playoffs, get McCaffrey back, I have as good a chance as anyone. And it just so happens McCaffrey's not coming back this week. So first things first, we're going to head straight into our mailbag.
The mailbag.
All right, boys. I got an email from friend of the show, Connor. He says, "Hello, Brian and crew. Do I start Kyler Murray versus the Giants? Or Justin Herbert against the Falcons? Also, is Ty Johnson a good pickup this week against Seattle?" Thank you, Connor. No, Connor. Thank you. Eric, who would you start? Kyler Murray against the Giants or Justin Herbert against the Falcons? Because I know he's coming off a bad game, but it's pretty clear to me.
It's Herbert. Dude, no, it's Herbert because Murray ain't running anymore. And like when he's not running, he's just a guy.
Yeah.
He's just a guy. He's just a quarterback. He's nothing. I mean, I think he's good, but like fantasy, we'll talk about fantasy fucking football.
Mm-hmm.
When Murray's not running, he's kind of just an average quarterback. Mm-hmm. 20 points, you know, maybe 18, 20, 22. Like, and that AC joint sprain, I'm starting to think it's kind of making him a little scared to run. Maybe he doesn't want to take big hits. I know I probably wouldn't want to be taking big hits. That can be a pretty painful injury. I've never had it, but I've heard it can be quite painful.
Yeah.
And I think it's affecting his play. I think it's making him more reluctant to run. And Kyler Murray not running.
That absolutely is where it started with that shoulder injury, and he hasn't been scoring the same since. He hasn't been running the same since. So I definitely made the same connection in my head as well.
He's also not throwing the same. If you look at the routes run by Hopkins and Kirk, Hopkins is only lining up on the left side. 85% of the routes he's run this year have been from the left side, and he's running the short 5-yard passes. Their offense definitely is in trouble because of Murray and the health of, I'm pretty sure that's the shoulder,
mm-hmm.
but they won't come out and say it. But Murray got you to the playoffs most likely. If you have Herbert, obviously you've been able to put him in as well. But Herbert is a clear play here. Murray, for me, unless I absolutely have to play him, is on my bench. If I can find a reasonable streaming option, I'm putting Murray on my bench until he proves me otherwise.
I'm with Steve, man. Like, he's a serious bench candidate right now. And, like, I have a bye week this week. But I'm telling you right fucking now, I would be playing Tannehill over Murray. If this was must win for me, I'd have Tannehill in there over Murray.
Tannehill has a great matchup this week, though.
I might play Tannehill next week over Murray.
If I had to pick between Murray and Josh Allen, I'm playing Josh Allen, and his matchup blows.
Yeah.
I mean, Murray, unless I really have to choose between like him and Tua or him and Hurts, I'll play him. But If I could find anybody that has a decent matchup, I'm going to take them over Murray.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
I mean, in Murray's last three games, which is pretty much since the injury happened, 15 yards rushing, 31-15, no touchdowns. Like, he's not running the ball. And like I said, that's where his bread and butter was. I mean, you got to look at this fucking guy's rushing stat logs. Up until week 11, he had a rushing touchdown in every game but one. 91 yards, 67, 78, 74, 67, 106, 61. Like, he was a that's where he was separating himself from all these other quarterbacks outside of Patrick Mahomes, was his rushing upside. And if that's gone, it's like I said, he's just a guy.
And I mean, and there goes the, you know, Lamar Jackson comparisons. You know, that's the end of that. As far as Ty Johnson goes, I don't know what you guys think. I don't think he's worth an ad because I feel like DeAndre Swift has to come back from this concussion, right?
Ty Johnson's on the Jets.
Oh my God, I suck.
Right?
Yes, he is. Yes. You're right.
Ty Johnson is on the Jets.
I'm back in 2018. Give me 1 minute to catch up, and I'm here.
So here's the thing with Ty Johnson, right? So the guy plays for the Jets. Frank Gore probably isn't going to be in. If he is, he's still Frank Gore. You're in the fantasy playoffs. Ty Johnson has a good matchup on paper against Seattle. Now, Ty Johnson had a good matchup last year in Detroit when he played for the injuries that happened to Kerryon Johnson. Everybody made the same mistake. Run out, grab Ty Johnson, put him in your starting lineup, and Ty Johnson gave you like 3 points 3 weeks in a row. The guy plays for the Jets. The Jets do not want to win. Adam Gase is not going to let them win. So if he starts being successful, he's coming out of the game.
So, I mean, I obviously I totally agree about the Jets thing. my only thing is I just, you know, comparing last year to this year, it's like, I mean, I understand it's a small sample size, but he did go out there and do it, you know? And, you know, look at Wayne Gallman. Wayne Gallman was a huge disappointment last year. You know, he was on the award show as one of the biggest bust waiver wire ads. And, you know,
both of these names were.
And he's,
can you name one running back that Adam Gase has coached that has been successful?
Ty Johnson just last week.
Jay Ajayi had that 1 year where he was successful, right?
Somewhat.
Somewhat. I mean, he was a startable running back.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think. If you're in a bind and you have to put a running back out there, you could do worse than Ty Johnson, but I'm going to try and look someplace else. I really am. I mean, there probably isn't anywhere else to look. You're going to probably start him over Booker. You're going to probably start him. I think you're
overlooking the depth chart, though. I mean, if Frank Gore is out, I mean, they went into the season with Lev Bell, Frank Gore, Ty Johnson, and this kid, Josh Adams. Ty Johnson and Josh Adams are the only ones left.
Right. And Adams played for Philadelphia last year and was serviceable when he came in. So, I mean, you're going to be split in the backfield between those two guys, but it's still the Jets. And they're playing Seattle, whose defense has gotten much better over the last few weeks. So, if you have to pick him up, you have to pick him up. But I'm definitely going to be leery about putting him in if I absolutely have to win. Now, you might be in a situation where you have Christian McCaffrey that you are counting on playing and you can't play him and you have to put somebody in that spot. So
that defense is so soft, though. I would add Ty Johnson for sure.
And from remembering Connor's question last week about running back waiver wire pickups, and I remember he mentioned he had Fournette and McKinnon.
Yeah.
Like, Ty Johnson might be the play over those two.
He might. I mean, that's what I mean.
He's over the play over McKinnon. You have to. 100 out of 100 times. Fournette, you can actually, I kind of like Fournette this week, me personally. But that's, we'll get to that more later because there's a different approach in season long and DFS for me. Right.
So, I mean, basically, the what's sealing the deal for me is the matchup against Seattle. Their defense sucks, and Ty Johnson got 65% of the carries last week. So if he's going to get 65% of the carries against a soft matchup, I'll take it.
My only thing is, how many carries are they going to be? Because if New York Jets are in a quick 14-0 hole, I mean, they're going to abandon the run. But he might catch Pat. He might get some receiving work.
Josh Adams gets receiving work. But so does Crowder. So does Perry.
Yeah, he's a wide receiver.
I mean, yeah, but the targets are still going to him.
I know, but like, that's such a stupid argument. Like, of course the wide receivers get targets.
Yeah, but...
like, why even bring it up?
Because the guy didn't get very many targets last week. You can't count on him getting targets from Sam Darnold.
He got two. That's...
two.
Yeah, that's pretty... that's not like... it's not zero. It's not terrible for a running back.
Sure. Like I said, if you have to pick the guy up and play him, you have to pick the guy up and play him. But he definitely is not my first, second, or third pick.
I mean, I get it. Like, he plays for the Jets. I get it. They're not good. But, like, he just rushed for over 100 yards, and he's going against a soft-ass matchup. I'm all about it.
Yep.
So, on my end, I'll take it. Take that for what you will, Connor. I would grab Ty Johnson if he's available. And if you're that desperate for running back, which you clearly seem to be, because this is the second week in a row you've asked us about waiver wire ads, I would start him without hesitation. How about that? Eric, final prognosis?
I'd pick him up even if I didn't need to start him.
Yeah.
Just to play keep away. I mean, if you're in the playoffs, you know, but like you said, I think he does have actually start potential this week because of the matchup. And because of what's left there. Like you said, there's only two guys left standing, mm-hmm. Adams and Johnson. And Johnson got the lion's share of the carries. That's who we lean towards. So that probably means it's a Josh Adams week. I'd still pick him up.
Yeah.
I'd be nervous to start him, but if you know what I mean? If you're looking, if it's between him and like McKinnon, dude, it's a no brainer. Even between him and Fournette, I think I'd probably roll with Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So moving on, we have our next mailbag question where Shane, friend of the show, happy birthday, Shane, by the way, co-host of the show, I should say, not even friend. We're closer than that. He has some start sit questions. Apparently, he has a flex spot he is trying to fill, and he wants to know if he should start Nick Chubb against Baltimore, Mike Evans, or Jalen Reagor. So, I mean, normally this would be an automatic
Nick Chubb, dude.
Nick Chubb. It's automatic. Nick Chubb.
I don't give a fuck who he's playing.
Evans is nursing a hamstring injury.
Yeah, Evans might not play.
If you have to pick Reagor over those two, you shouldn't be in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, if Mike Evans doesn't play, then the answer is pretty clear. But he's playing Minnesota.
Yep.
Which is a soft
matchup. It's still Nick Chubb. It's still Nick Chubb, hands down.
Yeah, it's the same Nick Chubb that scored 4 points in week 1 against Baltimore.
Yeah, week 1. The answer is Nick Chubb.
I'll be your bet you right now Mike Evans outscores him if he plays.
Okay. I'll make it 2-1.
We got a beer bet. Eric?
Nah, I'll let you guys fight.
Fight me.
Head to head.
Fight me.
We'll make another beer bet later. I'll let you and Steve have this one. I don't want to be the third wheel.
I know. That got hot quick.
Yeah. No, I like Shane, I'm not trying to come off as like a fucking ass bag, but I think it's Chubb.
No, and I mean, like I said, like, dude, 99% of the time, it's automatically Nick Chubb no matter what. Baltimore has the best rushing defense in the league, and Nick Chubb is splitting carries. There's no way around That's true. Yeah, that's 100% true.
Yeah. That's not quite true anymore. Calais Campbell's out. I don't believe he's playing this week. That's a big guy in their rushing defense. And they have fallen off on their rushing defense. Tampa actually has the best rushing defense right now.
But you're missing the other half of it, that he's splitting carries. He's splitting carries right down the fucking middle. So you put him against the best defense, the best rushing defense in the league, and he's only going to get half the carries. I don't think that's a good recipe.
So Baltimore right now is eighth best behind the Rams, the 49ers, Tampa, Atlanta, Washington, Pittsburgh, and New Orleans. So I have no problem. It's not even a question for me. Nick Chubb is in. If I have to pick between him and Evans, it's going to be Nick Chubb 100 out of 100. And Reagor's not even in the conversation.
even though I think we were a little hard on Evans at times. He did deserve it at times. I think he's actually turned it around. He's actually putting out together a pretty good season. Brady's actually been kind of leaning on him more than usual. But I think it's Chubb. I'm sticking with Chubb. It's not Rager, but
no.
But that's just it's fresh where they came to my head. Borderline, like not even ownable.
Like who are they even playing? Like what is this sweet matchup?
Philadelphia.
Yeah,
they're playing New Orleans.
Oh my God! Why did that even come up? It's not even like he's in a soft matchup.
I'm not even starting Hurts.
Like, if they were playing, like, Jacksonville, at least I could understand the question, I guess. But, why would you play a shitty wide receiver?
I'm not starting Goddard this week. I'm not starting Hurts, who are usually automatic on that roster. You just don't know what Hurts is going to do. So,
here's the thing. Philly's a fucking train wreck. The team fucking is horrible.
Yeah.
Playing a quarterback carousel. Now, we've been down this road with Rager before. He's in a good matchup. And he sucked. Mm-hmm. I'm not falling for it again. I'm not.
Yeah, then it's the Travis Fulgham show or the fucking Greg Ward show or the Dallas Goedert show. Like, no, I'm all set. Like, there is no number one on that team because that team's a fucking dumpster fire. So, Shane, thank you for the question. And we really appreciate you reaching out. And you're super smart and we love you. So I think that's enough for the mailbag. That answers all of our questions. I say we get straight into our boom bust recap.
The boom bust recap.
So, I mean, quickly, I did really bad this week. I went 0-4 on the booms. I had an ofer. I took Mike Glennon against Minnesota. That soft-ass Minnesota defense. Well, it turns out Mike Glennon is still Mike Glennon. 15.9 fantasy points. Took the L. Ate it. He finished quarterback 25 on the week. My running back was Frank Gore against Las Vegas. That soft-ass matchup. I was so excited for it, dude. First run of the game. Huh?
How many points did he put up?
0.2.
Ah. That's close, Brian. That was very close.
The first rush of the game, he gets a concussion and goes out. And we saw what Ty Johnson did. He rushed for over 100. We saw what Josh Adams did. He had a pretty decent little day too. So I still think the prediction was accurate. I think I would have been 100% right if not for injury. But if you started him, you're not happy about it. So I guess I have to take the L because that's a stupid rule in a stupid show that nobody should be listening to. You guys should hate yourselves for listening to this. And also,
that's Steve's beer.
And fuck you, Steve.
Thank you very much.
That's Eric's beer.
And fuck you, Eric.
I said there was no fucking way he would finish top 15.
But do you see it now, though? Look what Ty Johnson just did. 15
yards.
Oh, yeah. They're different, dude.
Yeah, different players.
Running through quicksand out there. I mean,
come on. You can't see the path. You can't see the path though.
Nope. Blind to it.
All right. So
the bet was Frank Gore. It wasn't New York Jets running back.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying they play for the same team. I don't know if you know that. So they're playing against the same matchup and Ty Johnson is not particularly good.
But Ty Johnson and Josh Adams are 40 years younger than Frank Gore.
Maybe 50.
Maybe 50. I mean,
but which one of them has 10,000 yards? I wonder. Moving on, I got my wide receiver Michael Pittman, who did absolutely fucking atrocious in that soft ass matchup against Houston. All of a sudden, T.Y. Hilton is still alive, so I don't know where he came from, but all of a sudden he's doing okay.
I think because you and I had the same pick there, Brian. I think. Pittman's taking the number one coverage now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. But, you know, if this kid, this goes back to what I was saying when we were talking about the Colts and their future, and I was saying they don't have a number one wide receiver. Michael Pittman is not a number one wide receiver. He should be able to beat that coverage if he's a number one wide receiver. If he can't beat the elite coverage, He's not a number one. He's a number two waiting to happen. They need to find a real wide receiver.
T.Y. Hilton, the Texan Slayer, dude. He has never been known as that in his career. He just has historically done very well against the Texans, and he finally woke up.
I mean, obviously, like, Hilton could beat the softer coverage. We've seen Pittman beat the softer coverage. If neither one of them can beat the top coverage, then neither one of them's a number one wide receiver in my eyes. Like, they need a real guy, you know? Go out and draft somebody. You know, Justin Jefferson, DK Metcalf, all these guys went top of the second. You know, there's no reason that the Colts shouldn't be able to get a guy like that. And I really think that's what they need,
Jefferson,
that and a quarterback.
Jefferson went in the first.
Did he?
Yeah, he was back at, he was like 21 overall, 21st overall, late first.
Oh, I could have sworn he went top of the second. I apologize.
Metcalf was a third round pick.
No.
Right?
No, he was second.
No, I think he was second, but he slid a lot farther than people thought.
He was supposed to be the number one receiver off the board.
Yeah.
And he ended up being, I think, fifth? Does that sound right?
No, I think it was, lower than that.
8 wide receivers taken before DK Metcalf. He was the 9th.
Round 2, 64th overall.
Yeah, so yeah,
he
yeah.
Literally,
yeah.
He was literally almost a third round pick. Like,
yeah, so end of the second. Yeah. So the first wide receiver with the Brown was Marquise Brown, kind of looking like a bust. And I know for a fact the second wide receiver of the board was N'Keal Harry, and he is absolutely a bust. It's not even up for debate. So, I mean, we don't have to go through the whole fucking draft, but I think a lot of teams are kicking themselves for overlooking DK Metcalf because, you know, he can't run routes. He looks just fine to me. So moving on, we don't have to go over the whole thing. At tight end, I had Jordan Reed, who actually had a pretty good day. 12.2 fantasy points out of my tight end. I'll take that any day of the week. I'm just fine with that. But he did finish tight end number 13 due to a really tight end heavy week. Usually 12 points is top 8 every single time. It was just kind of a wonky week, man. What are you going to do? But 12.2 in my book, it's a win. On the show, it's a loss. Moving on to the bust, I got Deshaun Watson. He was ranked the number 5 quarterback against that tough Indianapolis defense. He finished QB number 15 this week. 24 fantasy points in our scoring system, which our scoring system's high. He's probably more like 18 or 19 in other leagues. We had a round of for Alvin Kamara. The one guy we all agree on is a fucking loss. He was ranked the running back number 7 on the week. All of a sudden, Taysom Hill realizes that Alvin Kamara actually plays for the Saints and just starts targeting the shit out of him, and he gets 17.7 fantasy points. He finished running back number 9 on the week. Definitely not a bust. Fucking drilled my bust wide receiver, Terry McLaurin against Pittsburgh. Well known for taking away your number one wide receiver. I'm foreshadowing. That's coming up again in a little bit. I'm taking the W. He finished outside the top 50 for the week. He had 3.4 fantasy points. Definitely a bust. You were not happy if you started Terry McLaurin, unless you are Eric and everybody else on your team scored over 30. At tight end, I have Hunter Henry against New England. Obviously, New England's defense has played really good against tight end all season. It turns out that literally nobody on the Los Angeles Chargers was going to have a good day because, for whatever reason, Anthony Lynn still has a job, which I absolutely cannot figure out why. He should be second on the list right after Gase. It's like, how that job's not already open, I don't know. 1.5 fantasy points. He finished tight end 47. If you started him in week 13 trying to get into the playoffs, you are fucking furious. So, there you have it. That's the boom bust. Cosby's deep sleeper. I had Hunter Renfrow, who only scored 8.7 fantasy points. That's an L. And Darnell Mooney against that soft-ass Detroit defense. He only got 8.3 fantasy points, Darnell Mooney did. So that's another L. And all in all, not a good week. And we'll take it as it comes, I guess. I mean, it was kind of a wonky week. Guys in great matchups did poorly. Guys in poor matchups did great. It was just kind of weird. We've historically, as a show, never done this bad, despite all of our shitty picks. But, Eric, how'd you make out?
Just as bad. No, I was looking at some of the wide receivers drafted ahead of fucking DK Metcalf, dude. And it was just kind of laughable.
I think like did you know that was? I don't know them all, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say the Kansas City Chiefs drafted Mecole Hardman over DK Metcalf.
Can you imagine
if they had DK Metcalf? That team would be.
Yeah, but you got to figure too when they did that, Tyreek Hill was facing the potential suspension, and they wanted another guy that fit his same skill set. Now they're stuck with two of them. So,
yeah, and Mecole Hardman's not that good.
No, he's not. But dude, that team would be fucking lethal right now. Oh my, who would beat him?
Nobody.
Nobody. Tyreek, Kelsey, Metcalf.
I know. You think it's dangerous having Lockett Metcalf. Imagine Hill Metcalf. And then you put Travis Kelsey on top of that. Oh my God. How would you defend him? You couldn't. It'd be impossible. I digress. So, continue.
So to my boom bust, I also had an offer on the booms. I picked Mitch the Bitch, and he bitched out, and he only got 16.95 fantasy points. He did not have a good game. He did not keep that streak going against the Lions, finished as quarterback 23. Junk. My running back boom was Damian Harris. I didn't feel great about it. Finishes RB 27, 10.5 fantasy points. That's 20. RB 27, really? That's just not a great game. Not what you're looking out of. I mean, I guess for a guy of Damian Harris' skill set, it's not bad. But wide receiver, I had Mr. Deebo Samuel. He finished with 13.6 fantasy points. It says loss number 6. I'm imagining he did not finish as wide receiver 6. But Brian made an error. And then my tight end, boom, I had Trey Burton, who was garbage in a matchup where I thought Indy would slay Houston. They won. They didn't exactly slay him like I thought, but he had 2.1 points. He had one catch for 11 yards, I believe. Like,
yep.
Come on, dude. But it is
step
what it,
it
is.
Up.
Step it up.
Mo Alley Cox got all the targets in that game. It was just the right game, just the wrong guy.
Well, I mean, picking an Indy tight end is kind of like picking a New England running back. It's a total fucking crapshoot. Mm-hmm.
And so, on to my bust where I did a little better. I went 3-1. I also had Deshaun Watson, like Brian, a touchdown. He finished as QB 15, just under 25 points. And he also touched on how we all had a round of Alvin Kamara and how that blew up in our face. Because he finally woke up after, what, 2-3 weeks of mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
My wide receiver bust was Mr. Keenan Allen. And he had a very bad game. Many players on the LA Chargers had very bad games last week. When you don't score touchdowns, you don't score points.
Yeah, I was going to say the list might be shorter if we just named the Chargers that had good games.
Yeah.
I don't even think Austin Eckler
made it. He was outside the top 20.
Yeah, he's the only one that was close.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't mean to interrupt. Continue.
That's all right. So Keenan Allen had 9.8 fantasy points outside the top 50. For the week. My tight end, who I was looking at Hunter Henry, but I pick on that guy a lot last week. And if you've been listening to this show, I've been banging the drop Hunter Henry fucking train for a while. I've been on that train for a while. Like, look elsewhere. I know tight ends are tough to find, but hopefully you listen to me and you found somebody. But I had Dallas Goedert. He finished as tight end 16. He had 11.6 fantasy points, which ain't terrible. Like, that's pretty good out of your tight end. If your tight end get over 10, if outside of Travis Kelce and maybe Darren Waller, if your tight end gets over 10 points, I think that's a win.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the things we're going to be addressing in the offseason, how to adjust this. Because it's like, I mean, like I said, there's absolutely no reason that, you know, Jordan Reed with almost 13 fantasy points is like, oh, yeah, well, he's not a boom. Like, you know, I understand there were better options out there. Like, he didn't finish inside the top 12, but that's not a bad week, you know. And same thing with Dallas Goedert, you know.
Yeah, there was a tight end that me and Steve had picked too. I think I can't remember who it was, but he was like literally 0.1 points away from booming.
Yeah, 0.1.
I mean, it is what it is. But yeah, I went, like I said, 3-1 on the bust. So at least I did something there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much where the train stops, because my Cosby's deep sleeper was Golden Tate, revenge game, Golden Tate. Junk. 7 points. Garbage. In a game that the Giants fucking won. Somehow. And My Samson's deep flex play was Denzel Mims, man. 8 points. Like, what the fuck?
It's Jamison Crowder's team, man.
He just blew.
He just blew. Yeah. Two catches for fucking, what, 60 yards, I think.
Wow.
Which is telling you one of them was a big play. I mean, I don't know.
So he just went out there and sucked. So the Jets have already taught him everything they know.
Adam Gase is number one prodigy.
I feel bad, dude. I feel bad for Trevor or Fields, whoever's going to that team, because they're going to get ruined.
It won't be Trevor, because he's already contemplated going back for another year. So the writing's on the wall there. If the Jets are going to get the number one pick, I think he's going back to school.
I hope he enters the draft and pulls an Elway and just says, I ain't fucking playing for the Jets, so somebody come trade for me. Jets, you better trade my ass because I ain't playing for you. That would be the ultimate. Like, I would love that. I want to see that play out.
Elway had another out, too, didn't he? Wasn't he like a...
He was drafted by the Yankees.
It was baseball, yeah. So, yeah, and didn't he threaten? He's like, I'll just go play baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
What was Eli going to play?
Nothing.
The radio.
I'm just saying, man, people do it. You know, it's... I mean, Eli did it. It happened. Drafted by San Diego, said, I don't want to fucking go there. They traded to the Jets. Like, it can work. I'd love to see a power play like that play out live. You know, I'm watching draft night, just waiting for the news to drop, you know?
Yeah, he's a pretty highly touted prospect. Quarterback prospect, I mean.
I mean, he might be the highest rated prospect coming into the draft in, what, 10 years at quarterback? Like... You know, like, people were excited for Goff. They were, you know, they were excited. I mean, he's probably the most highly touted prospect since Andrew Luck.
That's who I would say Andrew
Luck was probably the most since then. It's kind of like he's definitely the next. You know, there's only been several. Elway was one of them. You touched on him. Like, he was extremely highly touted.
Yeah, but like, you know, when you're that highly touted, you have a lot more pull than most of these rookie prospects. You know. Because you know teams are going to come try and trade for you. You know they're going to give up the assets to get you. So if you make a power play like that, it can be a lot more successful than, you know, like fucking Sam Darnold wants to do that. It's like, fuck you, dude. Like, you know, who the fuck are you?
Like, the teams would be willing to give up multiple first round picks for him if they think he's the future, if they think he's the answer. And it'd be worth it if he pans out what people think he's going to be. Absolutely. You give up three first-round picks, absolutely it's worth it.
Oh, fuck yeah.
You get a franchise quarterback for 15 years?
Yeah, I know. I mean, even if you were drafting the next Kirk Cousins, he'd be worth three first-round picks. Never mind if he's as great as we all think he's going to be, you know? Speaking of Kirk Cousins, Steven, why don't you give us your boom-bust list?
So, my boom-bust list, I did not go over. I went one-fer.
Halfer.
My boom quarterback was Mr. Kirk Cousins, who finished right at the threshold of quarterback 8 with 29.45 fantasy points.
Half a point.
It didn't look good early on for Mr. Cousins. I do believe Brian threw up in the chat, that's what you get for starting Kirk Cousins. And then I think he scored like 2 touchdowns right after that.
I said that, but I wouldn't put it past
it. It wasn't word for word. It was similar to that. And then
your team sucks too.
I do remember now. He threw that pick, and it was like halfway through the second quarter, and he was doing terrible. And I was like, only Kirk Cousins could fuck up this bad against Jacksonville. He came out and had a fantastic second half as the number 11 quarterback on the week.
Yeah, started at 11 and finished at 8.
Just pointing it out, Stephen. Cheaters never win, and winners never cheat.
Hey, it has to be outside the top 8.
It has to be outside the top 12.
Finish inside. Top 12. Well, I don't care. No, I have a green.
That's why I didn't stop you. Keep going.
So I had Damian Harris as my boom running back, Michael Pittman as my boom wide receiver, and Jordan Reed as my tight end. All three missed, but I still went one for.
Halfer.
On the bus. I went 3-fer. I had Justin Herbert against New England, against that great coach in Bill Belichick and the awesome record he has against rookie quarterbacks. Herbert put up 6.45 fantasy points. Another notch on Bill Belichick's
My God. If we had the time, I would totally get into that. We don't have the time. Keep going.
We went into it last week.
Sheriff coaching his ass off tonight.
Yeah.
Hey, different night, different coach.
Yeah, it's not Anthony Lynn. I would say that's the main difference.
I think there's a little bit more talent.
Bro, I'm telling you right now, if that was week one, if I own the Chargers and that was week one, I'd fire Anthony Lynn. Never mind every fucking blunder he's had up until now, his atrocious record, his terrible time management. Like, that game plan was inexcusable. We don't have time. Continue, Steven.
Brian feels about Anthony Lynn like I do about Roger Goodell.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's not far off.
Alvin Kamara, round of. We all picked incorrectly on that one. My bust wide receiver. I feel bad because I didn't finish outside of the top 50 like you guys did, but I had DeAndre Flopkins, who we talked about early in the show. He finished as a number 18 wide receiver with 19.2 fantasy points.
Wonky.
Not a bad game for your wide receiver. Not a good game for DeAndre Hopkins.
Not a bad game by any means. Oh, wait. That is my mistake. I apologize. He needs to finish outside the top 20 to bust. That's a loss.
Oh, no. That's a win. It says win, and I only read what's on the teleprompter.
Don't worry. I'm fixing it now.
Too late. And then I picked Hunter Henry for my tight end, and that was a win. Cosby's deep sleeper. I picked Breshad Perriman. I should have picked Jamison Crowder. That was also a loss at 3.2 fantasy points. But I did hit my Samson's deep flex play again with Hollywood Brown against Dallas. He put up 14.9 fantasy points.
He got all his points on one play again. Fucking prick.
And that literally,
that's all it takes.
That one and only play and catch that he had cost Justin the playoffs.
Yep.
The second half, dude.
It's crazy, that man.
He had one fucking catch in that whole second half, and that was it.
I know it. And Adisa tried to give that game away, too. No quarterback. Well, you know what? Let's do the head-to-head real quick. Hold on.
Head-to-head recap.
I went 3-3. I had Eric over me. Eric fucking smashed me. Beat me by like a million points. My whole team sucked. His team rocked. It is what it is. Jared beat Dickie because Dickie is atrocious. He is in the playoffs, but not for long. Nate beat Ricky, which was awesome to see because Ricky sucks. And I love me some Nate Dogg. And I thought Shane would break the curse and beat Brian Martin. Not the case. He did not. But he gets another crack at it. First round of, oh no, they're not playing each other. What am I talking about?
Might get another crack.
Yeah, they might get another crack. I was thinking Martin was playing Shane, but he's playing Dickie. I apologize. Justin versus Adisa. I thought Justin was gonna walk away with it. It was close. It was a nail biter. It came down to the last second. And it did not work out. Adisa got that one miracle play to Marquise Brown, and that was all she wrote. That was all he needed with no fucking quarterback. This dude started Ryan Fitzpatrick, never took him out. We tried getting a hold of him, set your lineup, you know, nothing. Nobody's heard from him. It is what it is. I mean, it was kind of last minute that they decided to go with Tua, so it's hard to be like, oh, this is negligent. Like, it is what it is. And I thought Steve would beat Mike. Michael, I apologize. You are far superior in every way. Your team has demolished Steven. He is now standing alone in last place. You had two games on him, not just one. Mr. Cleveland Steamers, Steven Sampson, dead fucking last. DFL. So that is my head-to-head wrap-up. Eric, how'd you make out?
I did one game better than you. I went 4-2, baby. I picked myself to beat you and kind of cripple your playoff chances, unfortunately. My team kind of went, not nuclear, but they didn't really take it easy on you, you know. Hated to do it to you, man. But
nah, it is what it is.
Fantasy, baby. It's fantasy football, man. It is. Yeah, it's just, it is what it is.
I think this is the first time I missed the playoffs in like 4 years. Is that about right?
Yeah, I think the first year you were in my league, you didn't make it. I think you've made it every year since.
Yeah. That first year was rough. That was rough.
Oh yeah, you all your picks got just decimated with injuries.
Drafted Dez Bryant in the first round. He fucking played like one game.
Yeah, you
Jimmy
catch
Graham
it.
In the
you,
second. I remember that draft. It was the worst draft I ever had. It was terrible.
Yeah. So I also had Jared over Dickey. Jared's team just blitzed them. Just fucking like a Derrick Henry stiff arm, dude. Just get the fuck out of the way. I ain't making the playoffs, but I'm going to fucking push you out of the way to the toilet bowl. For the record, is my toilet bowl favorite is Jared. Absolutely blasphemous that he ain't in the playoffs, and we're going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Nate over Ricky. I had Ricky. I thought Ricky would hold on to win.
Fuck Ricky.
It was a tight game. It was a tight fucking game. I think Nate won by 5. And if Ricky would have held on to the Saints defense, he would have won.
Too cute.
So, too cute. And I told Nate, I said, you better thank that boy, because if he didn't drop the Saints D, your ass would be out of the playoffs. In the Shane versus Brian Martin debate, I sided with history, and I will always side with history until I see otherwise. I chose Brian Martin. Brian Martin won, danced his ass into the playoffs. Now he is lifetime 9-0 against Shane, dude. Amazing. That's unbelievable to me. Unbelievable. They have both been in my league since 2013. That is 8 years of football.
Yeah, insane. That's kind of crazy.
That's crazy. Tonight that you haven't beat them at least once. And toilet bowl games and shit like that don't fucking count. So don't come at me with them if that happened. I had Adisa beating Justin. Like you said, he barely won thanks to a luck play from fucking Marquise Brown and that major blunder. Keeping Fitzpatrick in his lineup, that could have really burned him. Unfortunately for him, he still missed the playoffs. It is what it is. He had some really tough losses in the beginning of the season, too. He had 2 losses by less than 1 point in the first 3 weeks. Even if just one of those games swayed the other way, he's in the playoffs. You know, it's just it's fantasy football. It sucks. It is what it is. But and Steve over Mike for the Cleveland Steamers award. I almost said toilet bowl. Mike's team went off, man. I had Steve, and Mike's team just went off, bro. So I'm at 4-2. And Steve gets a name change next year for his team.
Yes, I do.
So, Samson Steamers, what is your head-to-head record this week?
I went 3-3. I picked me over Mike. We know how that ended up. I did pick Jared over Dickey. I took Ricky over Nate. I'm glad I did, so that Nate won. I picked Shane over Brian Martin. Didn't work out for Shane. Picked Adisa over Justin, and I picked Eric over you. So 3-3.
All righty. So, you know, quickly, you know, you're Mr. DFL. League rules state that we get to rename your team next year after whoever comes in last in the NFL. That's pretty clearly going to be the Jets. So, you know, I want to reach out to the listeners. Send us an email. Voicemail, Facebook message, Facebook post, anything. What should Steven's team name be? Anything Jets related? Funny is good. Mean is even better. You know, hit us with your best shot. We'll put it on the award show. We'll put it out to a vote. You guys are going to decide his team name, not us. It's going to be on the award show ballot. We're going to ask our listeners to fill out the ballot. You guys get back to us and tell us what you want his team name to be. So, Steve, do you have any favorites?
My favorite is Through the Gates of Hell, but that's too cool to be a last place team. So I'll save that for one of my other leagues. I'm up for whatever. It really doesn't matter.
I've been thinking about it long and hard, and personally, I'm a big fan of worst case scenario.
That's fine, too.
Eric, do you have one?
I don't, because the Jets are tough, dude. They're really
tough, dude. It's so much harder than Cincinnati Bungholes.
Hey, all they got to do is win one game, and you guys can be picking me a name from Jacksonville.
That is true.
Hey, there's a lot more possibilities.
I mean, they almost did it last week. They almost stumbled into a win and lost that number one overall pick. So it still could happen.
Oh, so let me hit you with this real quick. Okay, this is from Conspiracy Corner. Okay, it's a podcast classic. You might want to look it up. In my mind, I am convinced that Greg Williams was fired because he did not want to call the defense that was on the field, and he was overruled to pick a losing defense. I think he tried to call prevent. Somebody else chimed in and said, no, don't do that. And he was fired either A, for putting up a stink, or B, he just said, you know what, if you're not going to let me call the plays, fucking cut me loose.
I think he called that defense so that he would get fired, so that he would be out before everything else comes down. At least this way, he has a chance to get employed.
It does make him eligible for head coaching vacancies. I can see why he'd want out.
I do know that after the game, they interviewed Adam Gase and asked him if he knew about the call, and he did, but he didn't do anything about it. So
I think he made the call.
There's a million conspiracies. There's a conspiracy going around actually amongst Jets fans that Greg Williams called that on purpose to personally sabotage the Jets because he wants to see Adam Gase fucking go 0-16. He didn't just call an all-out blitz, dude. He literally had no safety help in that end zone.
Yeah, it was cover zero.
He left a rookie cornerback on an island by himself, like one-on-one against Henry Ruggs. And like, you know, you can argue Henry Ruggs' skill set as a receiver, but the dude's a fucking, he's quick. Like, he's fast. You don't do that. You don't do last play of the game.
Yeah.
It was suspicious. But there's actually a video I watched, and I'm going to send it to you guys. It's actually it's a fucking very interesting video. And this kid, who was a Jaguars fan, for the record, was actually excited because he actually thought, holy shit, maybe my team's going to actually get the shot to get Trevor. And that play happened. And he went and did, like, extensive research on Greg Williams and his Hail Mary call. Like, literally, like, back to his first day of coaching.
Yeah.
Like, 20-plus years ago. And there's a shift in Greg Williams' defense. I don't want to get too deep into it. I'll send you guys a video. It's, like, 9 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a shift for where Greg Williams was always, like, you know, strengthen numbers, prevent defense, you know what I mean? Bat the ball down, blah, 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 all that. And then there's this switch where from this point forward, he always blitzed on Hail Marys. He kind of pieced it together, and it's very fucking interesting. But the thing that was different with this Hail Mary attempt was in all the other ones, he always had safety help in the end zone. Like, he had guys lined up in the end zone. This time he did not. That was strange, yeah. Dude.
It's inexcusable.
Like, if I was the NFL, I'd almost investigate it. they're actively throwing this game, dude.
No, it was bad. So in all likelihood, Steve's team will be named after the Jets. That's fine. You know, we'll come up with something, you know, hopefully the listeners come up with something good. That'd be awesome. You know, if not, we'll pull one out of our bag of tricks. We'll put them all in the award show and the listeners will vote and they will pick one and Steve will be stuck with it. And he's at the listener's mercy. So you guys be as mean as you want, and that way I don't have to take the blame for Steve having a really cruel, unusual, upsetting name. And, you know, it's the listener's fault. It's not mine. You know, I did not decide this. The listeners did. So I can pass the buck on to you. Some other things we're going to be talking about on the award show. You know, let's give it a little preview. Let's give it a little sneak peek. Eric, what is one of the questions you want to put on the award show ballot we're going to be sending out to our listeners and league mates?
All right. So since I'm the commissioner of this league, I'm going to touch on a league-specific change I'd like to implement. And I'm actually very passionate about it the more I think about it. And I'm going to push it kind of hard.
Can I guess?
There's like, yes. Go ahead.
Fab.
I'll let you guess. Nope.
Really?
No, it's not Fab. High points wild card.
High points. So what? You'd have four teams go by standings in the last
five.
Two spots.
The five. The last spot is high.
The last spot would be high.
Points. Highest points four. That's how most of my other leagues operate.
Yeah, I'm actually like pretty passionate about it. Like it's probably number one on my list. Jared got boned.
Can you override that as a commissioner?
You can. I can actually adjust the playoffs. I can log in. I have to do it on the. You can do it on the phone. Not on the app. You have to log in on the desktop.
Yeah.
You have to go on the desktop version of it.
But you can. I can override. Like, I could fucking like put Steve in the playoffs right now if I wanted to. You know, like obviously.
Well,
people
I mean,
hey, what the fuck?
That'd probably be pushing the limit. But I get your point.
Yeah, I'm saying like, no. The point I'm trying to make is that yes, I can manually adjust the playoff seeding. Like I have to do it myself anyways because we reseed in round two, and sometimes I have to manually go in and adjust the lineups. It's just, dude, and it makes me sick. Looking at Jared's team, and I'm like, this kid did not deserve to miss the playoffs. And seeing what got in at the sixth seed pissed me off. I'm just being real. He just, like you said, it was unfortunate bad luck. It happened to me. Only year I ever missed the playoffs, which, shout out to Michael Bouchard. Every year he's been in my league, I've made the playoffs. The one year he fucking missed, I missed the playoffs. He is my good luck charm. Doing yourself, doing a great service to the league, my friend. I was the high point. I was the highest scoring team, and I missed the playoffs. Same situation as Jared. I just bad matchups. It happens, you know. And it's something I had thought about and like kind of heard before, and I never really looked into it. And you don't want to. You don't want to, like, as a commissioner, I'm like, I don't want to push a change like this.
Yeah.
Like when it affects me, it hasn't affected me this time. I'm still the top. So I'm the number one seed. I got the highest scoring team.
As far as the concept itself, I agree with it. I mean, obviously, I'm not even close to the highest points leader this year, but
what?
I know it's hard to believe, but it does give people the opportunity that maybe are going up against the bad luck of, you know, a bad schedule draw. They still have the opportunity to make it into the playoffs with a good team. So I would be for it. You'll probably meet it with some adversity to it, but I think it's a good thing to implement.
And the thing with like the high points wild card, I just want to throw this in real quick, is like, you'd be surprised how often it doesn't even come into play.
No, right? It's not going to.
I've actually hardly looked ever into it. There's once in a blue moon it comes into play. It's just more of an out for a team that gets a little bad misfortune like I did that year and Jared did this year.
So, I mean, for the most record, of the time, are we saying it would be if you are the highest scorer, you get the sixth place? Or is it the sixth place goes to the highest scorer that is not in the playoffs?
Not in the playoffs. The highest scorer
that is not in the playoffs.
Yeah, so it'll
be
like
from
that.
The remaining seven teams.
I mean, well, I'm in just an example. I'm in a league on Sleeper that has this implemented, and a guy who is 8-5 is not in the playoffs, and a guy who is 5-7 is. And the 8-5 team left the league. So, and I can completely understand the frustration because you have a winning record and you're not in the playoffs, and somebody who doesn't is because they put up more points. So,
yeah, see, like that's where you lose me right there. I thought we were talking about if you're the highest point scorer. So, like, if I'm the fifth, if I'm the seventh highest point scorer, but I have a better record than the sixth highest point scorer, I'm going to lose my playoff spot over a couple of points over the course of the season when I have a better record. I don't like that.
I actually kind of like it the more I think about it. It's either that or I want to get rid of head to head as a tiebreak, because head to head's horrible as a tiebreak.
Well, you can get rid of head-to-head as a tiebreaker and just go.
It should just be points. It should just be points.
Steve, did you have a question you wanted to bring to the league? Bring to the listeners?
So I have a couple just thoughts for the award show. And it definitely requires a decent amount of input from the listeners. So first one would be best waiver wire pickup of the year. I would imagine James Robinson is probably the number one answer. But
yeah, not even close.
Yeah.
Other people might have other opinions. And then maybe rookie of the year or comeback player of the year.
Yeah. I mean, so actually that is being hotly debated all over Facebook, is comeback player of the year. Is it Alex Smith or is it Ben Roethlisberger?
I would say it's
Alex Smith.
Well, Alex Smith had the most severe record, but Ben Roethlisberger is playing better.
Dude, I don't care. Yeah. Alex Smith almost died, dude. Did you ever see pictures of his leg, dude? It was disgusting.
No, I understand that. It's definitely a way more severe injury. I'm not trying to say that at all.
Just the simple fact that he walked out on a football field again and is able to play after the injury he had and then the multiple infections and surgeries. I mean, yeah, that's hands down, I would think. But, I mean, that's what I'm saying. One of those things that we definitely need the listeners' input for.
It's like, is Ben Roethlisberger having a better statistical season? Absolutely. You know, his team's better. He has a better record. But I think that, like, the second that Alex Smith stepped on the football field and took a snap, like, that was like, dude, this guy just literally, like, almost fucking died from a broken leg.
But Washington surgeries. Got better, too, as soon as he stepped on the football field. So.
And, like, Alex Smith hasn't had a full season to crack at it either. And, like, since he's taken over, I mean, they just beat that team that we're talking about. They just beat Pittsburgh. I think it's Alex Smith. And I don't think it's going to go to anybody else.
Oh, no. I mean, for the record, like, he's getting it. Like, it's not up for debate. Like, you know, we can sit on the show and talk about whether or not Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer. He's getting in. And Alex Smith is getting comeback player of the year, period. I was curious if I was the only one that thought, you know, kind of has a lot of turnovers. And, I mean, maybe that makes me an asshole. Like, that's fine, too. Like, I just don't. I mean, personally, I would give it to Ben. He's had a much better season. he has played far superior to Alex Smith. And, like, I get it. Alex Smith's injury was so much worse. It is a borderline miracle he ever stepped onto the field. But he hasn't played that great. It's, I understand the team has played better. I get it. But, like, I don't know. To me, like, the comeback player of the year has to be, you know, the guy that missed the season and came back and fucking rocked the house. And Ben Roethlisberger has been playing lights out. He's been playing really well. The team was 12-0. Like, to me,
11-0.
Oh, I'm sorry, the bye. Yes, 11-0. And you know, to me, it goes to Ben. If it were up to me, and it's not, and Alex Smith is definitely going to get it. Like, the NFL started pumping those tires the second he came in for an injured Kyle Allen and got benched the next week. It's a done deal. It's already decided. I'm just curious what everybody else thought.
Well, yeah, but our award show is the awards that we're giving to.
Oh yeah, no, we get to decide.
Our fans, yeah. So it doesn't matter what the NFL.
Yeah, no, we're not asking.
It's what we and our fans choose. So
yeah, we're not asking the listeners to decide who the NFL will choose. We're asking the listeners who they will choose. Right. So it's totally different. You know, the one question I want to touch on real quick is the rookie of the year. And a couple names come to mind. You know, I mean, nobody really started the season red hot. You know, there really weren't any running backs out of the gate. You know, Edwards-Helaire probably started the hottest and has severely cooled off. To me, it would be between CeeDee Lamb, DeAndre Swift, Justin Jefferson.
For me, it's Justin Jefferson, hands down.
NFL Rookie of the Year or Fantasy Rookie of the Year?
Fantasy.
It's James Robinson.
Is he a rookie?
Yeah,
he's running back four. It's between him and Jefferson.
And no, Robinson's not a rookie. He's not
a rookie.
I'm pretty sure he's a rookie. Almost positive he's an undrafted rookie.
Experience zero. He is a rookie.
He's a rookie. Wow. You guys think I'm dumb?
Oh, no, I thought it was his second year.
No, I thought he was. I thought he was. Yeah, I know he didn't play last year, but I thought he was a second year.
Yeah, it's James Robinson. Like, that's a stupid question. We're not. I don't even know if we're going to send that one out.
No, you got to play. You got to send it out. I mean,
third in rushing yards, running back four.
No, he's having a great year.
Slaying it.
No, I mean, like I said, the only reason he did not come to mind was because I thought this was his second year. I thought last year he was on the bench behind Fournette or on the practice squad or whatever. Yeah, that's a wrap on that one. So I said we'll make it quick and got. By golly, it was. That's going to bring us into this week's predictions.
The boom bust players.
So, I mean, we're going to give you the playoff edition. We're just going to give you one running back, one wide receiver each. Boom bust. So, at boom, my running back, Mr. Nyheim Hines, playing against Las Vegas. I know Jonathan Taylor's had a bid week. I think that's a flash in the pan. I really think Hines is going to get the fucking work, dude. And if I had him, I'd be starting him with confidence. Cole Beasley against Pittsburgh. I think that Pittsburgh defense is a little susceptible to number twos. And I think he's going to go out there and have a good game. At bust, I have J.K. Dobbins against Cleveland, who is the number 15 running back for some reason. First off, that boy got some fucking legs. I had no idea he was that fast until I watched that game Tuesday. I haven't had a chance to see much of him, and I was shocked. I mean, that boy can run. For my bust wide receiver, I have Stephon Diggs against Pittsburgh. So my boom is Cole Beasley, because number twos typically do well against Pittsburgh. My bust is Stephon Diggs, because usually the number ones get blanketed. Absolutely fucking blanketed. So I think it'll be a bad game for Diggs, a good game for Beasley. Keep it in mind when you're setting your lineups. Cosby's deep sleeper. I got Mr. Russell Gage against the Los Angeles Chargers. There's a good chance that Julio will not play. He is dealing with yet another injury. It seems to never end with him. And I think that if he is out, Russell Gage could definitely see some action in that soft-ass defense. He is going to be in my flex this week. He's my cost saver. Steve, who do you got?
All right, so for my... boom, running back this week, I have DeAndre Swift against Green Bay. Green Bay's given up almost 1,200 yards rushing with 11 touchdowns. But the biggest stat is they've given up about 600 yards in the passing game to running backs with 5 touchdowns. They're the third worst defense against running backs this year. My wide receiver, I also have Mr. Cole Beasley. Pittsburgh just got beat across the middle, which is where Beasley is going to make his money. I look for him to have a pretty good game this week against Pittsburgh. My bust running back this week is Dalvin Cook against Tampa. Tampa's given up the lowest. Dalvin Cook against Tampa Bay. I didn't stutter. Tampa Bay has given up the least amount of rushing yards in the league this year at 646 and only 7 rushing touchdowns. They're second only behind New Orleans in their rushing defense. Now, Cook doesn't have Madison behind him, so he's going to get all the work. So this may blow up in my face, but I don't think so. And my bust wide receiver on the week is going to be Julio Jones against the Chargers. In 9 games that Julio's played this year, he has finished in the top 10 2 times and only 4 times in the top 20. Matt Ryan has not been good lately. He hasn't passed over 300 yards since week 7. He's not been in the top 8 for quarterback since week 6. And the Chargers have the eighth best defense in the league for wide receivers. So, Eric, who do you have?
My boom running back. I talked to Brian and Steve off air when we were doing a little pre-record chat. I had to let them know that my guy was playing tonight, and boy, is he on his way to fucking booming. I have Cam Akers. He has been playing really good football lately, and I don't think a lot of people have been noticing, at least on a casual level. He's looked like the best running back on that team the past 3 weeks. 14 points, 16 points, and he is at 21 as we speak. 149 rushing yards. Feels cheap, but that was the first name I saw, and I said, that boy should not be outside the top 20. And my boom wide receiver is going to be Mr. Chase Claypool, because I also don't think he should be outside the top 20 this week. I feel like this is a Claypool week. Deontay Johnson's kind of been riding high lately. He's kind of been the guy, and I feel like there's going to be more of an opportunity for Claypool this week. He will probably not see Trey White. I think Trey White will be more on Deontay Johnson. He will see some Trey White, too. But I can see Claypool, Josh Norman. I don't see that going well for Norman, man. So fire up Claypool, man. Love him. For the bust, I have Ronald Jones at running back because I don't think he's that good. That's really all I got to say about that. I just don't think it's a Rojo week. And for my wide receiver, I'm going with Adam Thielen this week for some reason. I just don't have a good feeling. I don't have a good feeling about Thielen.
Very clever.
Kind of cheesy. Yeah. I don't. And the matchup isn't like terrible. I mean, it's not great. I mean, Tampa Bay started out with a really good secondary. Now she like pretty lights out, but they've lately been getting absolutely slayed.
Yeah. Getting worse by the
past few weeks. They're getting worse by the week. But man, I think Tampa Bay is going to win this game. Pretty handedly. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't think Thielen's going to eat this week. I think it's going to be the J. Jeff show. And, you know, Thielen will have a much more pedestrian game. I believe he leads the league. It might be Adams, but he's up there. He might lead the league in touchdown passes, receptions, Adam Thielen. Samson's deep flex play real quick. I'm going to him. He just came back, and I think it's going to be a great spot for him. I'm going with Alan Lazard. Going up against Detroit. Oh, yeah.
Well,
love me some Lazard this week.
If you're going to give yours, I'll give mine. Jamison Crowder, wide receiver 34 against Seattle. I know he's a Jet, but, you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier, and I really think Jamison Crowder could fucking feast against that soft-ass defense.
He's a 34, Brian.
Oh, you're right. Oh, my God, I'm a fucking cheater. It's almost as bad as picking Kirk Cousins at number 11.
Almost.
But DeAndre Swift is your boom running back.
Yeah, but he's like the number 40 fucking running back.
Yeah, because people don't expect him to play. If he was 100% healthy, we all agree he'd be in the top 15, right?
Yeah, but I would pick Adrian Peterson for the same reason. So
I'll take T. Higgins against Dallas. How about that? Number 38.
Great play, dude. I agree.
He just might not play.
Really? I don't see that.
Take your boy, AJ Green. Brian won't stoop that low.
No, I'm not. I'm never that desperate. I'll stick with D. Higgins. If he doesn't play, he doesn't fucking play.
Okay. No. I like the pick too because I've looked at both him and Boyd. But
you should tear up.
Mine's going to be Michael Gallup.
You can scrap the whole segment. I was going to say I didn't know you guys.
I'll take Gallup.
So yeah, I think that's just about going to wrap the show up. Eric, do you have anything you wanted to add?
Briefly, yeah, I got real quick. Who do you guys like this week in the playoffs in our league?
Martin and Dickey. I'm taking Martin all day and night, not even thinking twice. Dickey's team is garbage, like we touched on briefly, which is probably going to get cut out, so no one knows that. Dickey's team is not good. So Brian Martin should win that handily. Nate and Ricky, that one came down to the fucking wire last week. And I think Nate will take it again. I really do. You know, Stephon Diggs be my bust wide receiver. I will take Nate.
I'm taking B. Martin, Nate.
Boom. Two out of three podcasts agree.
I'm also going to take B. Martin, but I'm going to take Ricky in the Nate matchup.
Really?
Nate's a little too heavy on Colts for me.
And yeah, like you I said,
Julio might not. Julio might not play. That hurts. That hurts his team bad.
No, it does. But at the same time, like I mean, like I said, I get your point that he's a little Colt heavy. But at the same time, the Colts are in a sweet fucking matchup.
Trust me. This play. I mean, my bust wide receiver is on Ricky's team.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. I hate Miles Sanders. Hate Miles Sanders. Like Ricky garbage. should literally look to bench him if he can. Like, I would want nothing to do with fucking starting him, dude. At all. Like, I'd play Ty Johnson over Miles Sanders right now, if I could. He's bad. And we all liked him. That's what pisses me off. We were all fans of Miles Sanders coming into the season, and he just flopped, dude.
I'm telling you right now, if I had the 10th overall pick in your draft, he'd be my problem. Period. There's no question about it. You know, I am so fucking blessed that I wanted to be in the back end of the draft in every draft I was in, and I never was. I was always in the front, and I never got a single piece of Miles Sanders. So it's just how it worked out.
So I'm going with, like I said, I'm going with B-Mart to set up that sweet possible can Shane finally do it match next week, and then it would be me versus Ricky. Me and Ricky have engaged in quite a few playoff matchups, and it's pretty even.
Oh, so that's why you want Ricky to win. You just want the softer team for your playoff matchup.
No, I'd rather play Nate.
Well, don't get me wrong. I know you hate Nate. You always pick against him. You think he has the worst team in the league. Like, we get it. But, you know, can you try to look at it objectively? You know, pretend you're Nate's friend, for God's sakes.
Hey, I've been picking Nate more recently to win. I picked against him a few times. It's just, dude, I can't, like
nobody
I said,
remembers like, those.
No, nobody remembers those, but I just can't look past the fact that, like, Ricky's a lucky prick, and he just somehow lucks into wins in these matchups, where you're just like, oh, he shouldn't win, but he just finds a way to win.
Yeah.
And I'm just gonna, I don't know. That's what I got.
All right. So, Steve, is there anything you wanted to add?
I was invited to join another podcast this week, and I just want to give a shout-out to my friends over at the Wizarding World of Fantasy Football. A few of them are listeners here on our show. Really appreciate you having me on the show. If anybody is interested in Harry Potter theme leagues, there's a few other types of leagues that these guys run. Just reach out to me on the Facebook page and I can hook you up with them. A lot of fun playing in their leagues. So again, appreciate you having me on the show.
If you guys want to get in touch with us, if you want us to be on your podcast, if you want to leave a question, if you want to ask us anything under the sun, propose a award show question. That's right. You can contribute questions as well. So if you have a question you want on the award show that you want to hear the answer to, you can leave us a voicemail at 508-343-8010. It will not ring. It'll go straight to voicemail. You can contact us at dddfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Guys, there's not as much football going around these days. We need the mailbag more than ever, okay? Please reach out to us. Let us know.
Make sure you vote on my team name.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to vote. Yeah, no, I'm telling you right now, anybody that doesn't vote on the award show, I'm going to block them from the podcast. Not allowed in. They have to vote, period. Last year, this podcast was just for Eric's league, and he was literally driving to people's houses to get them to fill out the fucking ballot for the award show. He wasn't having it. Like, you had to do it to be part of the league. And I think you should have to do it to be a listener. I'm just saying. I think that's going to do it for this episode of the Daydreaming Degenerates. I'm sorry it's 2-1. I'm sorry you only get one this week. Our schedules are busy, but please set your lineups.